Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome back, everybody. Bob Stauffer joining you. Oilers Now, live from Mullet Arena. The final game that appears to be played here in Tempe, Arizona. Some guests and Oilers Now receive gift certificates to Roost Chris Steakhouse. Whether you're celebrating a special moment or simply savoring a night on the town, every meal is an occasion at Roost Chris Steakhouse. 9990 Jasper Avenue. Tell Chris and Chef Eltaf that Oilers Now sent you. Roost Chris, it's the greatest steak you've ever had. We're going to head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. And for Abe's Door Service, where services are specialty, visit abesdoor.ca. We welcome back to the show one of the most plugged-in men in the business, Elliot Friedman from NHL Hockey and Rogers. Hello, Elliot. How are you?
You know, Bob, I got to tell you, I was doing good up until about 30 seconds ago. I'm walking along the Hollywood Beach in Florida. I took my family here for a couple days, and a bug just flew right into my mouth. So it's been a little bit of a struggle the last 45 seconds or so.
That used to be the worst thing when you were planting trees and you were moving quick, is when they'd go up your nostrils because you'd be bending down to plant the tree. That was a bad feeling. Then you'd end up having to hork it out to get rid of it, right? You'd spend 3 minutes. That's bad. Could be worse. It could have been Max.
Well, Elliot, to be fair, Bob, you do have bigger nostrils than I do.
Yes, yes, absolutely. And that would explain why I had a deviated septum and had to get an operation from Gerald Dittick's dad back in the day. All right. Anyhow, and boy, that when they, you know, Elliot, my buddy, Darren Hambleton, wanted to be a doctor, so he came and picked me up at the hospital after I had the surgery done. And Dr. Dittick looked at Darren and said, oh, you want to be a doctor? Okay, hold this silver pan. And then he pulled the packing out of my nostril, out of my nose, and the coagulated blood popped, and Darren almost fainted on the site and dropped the pan and goes, I think you should be a lawyer. Anyhow, I digress. So I don't know what's bugging you, but you were all over the story last week here with Mullet Arena. There's no walking this back, right? They are on the Salt Lake, is that correct?
No, I think it'll be announced tomorrow, barring any setbacks. There's a board of governors meeting in the afternoon, and I would expect it will be announced after that board of governors meeting. Crazy stuff can always happen, but Bob, this would be really crazy if it didn't happen. The board of governors, like I said, is called for tomorrow afternoon, and I expect that sometime late afternoon Eastern time, it will be announced, as long as nothing falls apart. We're not going backwards here. If anything, it would just be, is it not completely done?
Yeah, I think it's got to be stated. We just had Tim Shipton on. Tim and myself both have a connection to Cal Nichols. I'm doing the Cal Nichols Toast of the Town Saturday in Edmonton. No question, Gary Bettman fought for Edmonton during the days of the Canadian Assistance Program. You know, when Cal and his group, the Edmonton Investors Group, saved the team back in 98. I'll go back to Cal putting together the SOS campaign back in 96. But Gary dug in and helped Edmonton out multiple times, including the transition of ownership and fighting for the new building. Nobody in the desert can complain about Gary Bettman's efforts here. I mean, he facilitated this as long as he possibly could have, didn't he?
Yeah, look, he's been fighting for Arizona for 30 years. They got there, and they moved again, and even now, the only reason we are where we are, Bob, is that there's just no other current option there. And I think if they had reason to believe that the rink can be done faster than it is, like, first of all, he's got to win the auction. Secondly, he's got to get it built. And, you know, thirdly, by their own admission, the earliest it would happen was the fall of 2027. And that's assuming that nothing will drop, nothing. And if you've ever done even something like I did a home renovation, which was like one of the worst non-death experiences of my life. That's a home. Like we're talking about an arena. I just think Bettman realized it was, you know, there were too many variables. There were too much uncertainty. And I think the league is known that barring something crazy happening, this is going to occur for about 3 weeks. I think it was in March that this was really set in motion on both sides. And I think they've known for about 3 weeks, right around the end of March, beginning of April, that it was going to happen.
Well, Elliot, this is the best broadcast location in the league. But that's the problem. This is the best broadcast location in the league. I mean, they get 4,600 fans here. We've discussed this. The Edmonton Oil Kings were out of the playoffs in December. They basically averaged 10,784 fans their final 10 regular season games. You know, and it's just, you know, in Canada, it's hockey, and so I have empathy for the people that work around these events and all that kind of stuff. But it just ran its course at the end of the day, didn't it?
Yeah, it's the simplest way to do it. Look, why did Winnipeg move back to? Why did Atlanta move back to Winnipeg? They ran out of options.
Yep.
And that's exactly what's happened here in Arizona. They ran out of options. And like I said, the expectation is they're going to announce it tomorrow. We might not see press conferences until Friday, but if everything goes according to plan, and it should, is that it should be announced tomorrow afternoon.
We should mention the Lightning are playing the Leafs tonight. Austin Matthews, of course, from the state of Arizona, is looking for a 70th. The lone goal so far, it's 2-1 Tampa. And Ryan Reaves have scored for the Leafs. Kucherov has a goal, does not have assist. He's looking for his 100th assist of the season. McDavid's going to play tonight, probably not playing tomorrow night. Not sure what Colorado's going to do. They haven't played a bit recently, so maybe McKinnon's in. What do you think of, it's not like the NBA. What do they call that, load management in the NBA? The Islanders pulled some guys out. What are your thoughts on that?
I think in these situations it's all okay. I don't have a problem with this. I do have problems when it's like just regular games during the year. And like if you have a legitimate injury, that's one thing. But if it's just load management, I'm not as crazy about it. Like, look, it got so out of control, and once you go down on that, Bob, it's hard to dial it back. Look what the NBA's had to do.
Yes.
They've had to tie their awards to it. And it's controversial. Like, there's one player, and I don't know the exact scenario, but he only missed one game all year. But because he didn't have enough minutes played, because he's a bench player, a really good one, it's cost him in some award voting. Like, it's like the law of unintended consequences. But when you clinch a playoff berth, and, you know, the game you're playing doesn't affect anyone else, I think that's different. I don't have a problem with that. Like, last year, there was a game, Toronto was going down to Florida, and I can't remember if it was the game against the Panthers or the Lightning, where they were right at the cap, and the league was going to force them to basically dress two goalies that had never played before. And the Leafs' argument was, we'll do it, but this game matters for somebody else in the playoff race. So they basically, and it wasn't they broke the rules, but it was an interpretation of the rules. And the league was getting so tired of some of the games that they were going to make it slot of the Maple Leafs. And basically what they said is, all right, you have it tonight for this game that matters, but you're going shorthanded tomorrow. And I think that's kind of the way the people around the league feel. Like, look, like, Islanders, their game tonight doesn't matter for anyone, fine. Your game tonight, it doesn't matter for anyone, fine. Colorado's game tomorrow, it doesn't matter for anyone, fine. I think if it was a game that mattered to someone, I think people would have more problems with it.
For Abe's Door Service, we're joined by Elliot Friedman, Bob Stauffer with you in Oilers Now, live from Mullet Arena. I just want to circle back to what's going to happen carrying forward in Salt Lake. Have you had a chance to talk to the new owner, Ryan Smith, yet?
Not recently. I've talked to him before, but this is what I think is going to happen. First of all, I think they're going to they're going to stay in the Central Division. There's not going to be any moves there. I believe Andre Tourneau is staying as head coach. I believe Bill Armstrong is staying as GM. But I do think it's possible they are going to add, potentially. I don't think you're going to see anything like that tomorrow, but I have heard that there is consideration to adding. I don't believe we're going to see a name tomorrow. I think that's still work in progress. But I also think what you're going to see is a commitment to upgrading the arena immediately. And one of the things that has kind of been hinted to me is by some people who know the Utah market better than I do, like there's a chance that they could have an entirely new arena should they get the Olympics, which is about a decade away. Or I can't remember if it's 2030 or 2034, but I believe it's also they're looking at the possibility, Bob, of maybe just upgrading that arena to a new elite level. I believe both kinds of things are under consideration. But look, the NHL has done site surveys in Utah. They have said this is what needs to be better for both the home team and the visitors. I'm under the impression that Ryan Smith is committed to do that. Practice facilities. He wanted an expansion team, but he was the best solution to the problem. And I think the other thing too, Bob, that was a key here is that this is a team that's up and coming. I have a feeling, you know, another owner said to me that he wondered if this was not a good team potentially, or a team that was on the decline.
You nailed it.
He wondered if Smith would have been as interested. But look, like, the NHL said, look, we need you to do this, 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 and this with the arena, and he's prepared to do that. So, like I said, I don't think we're getting a name. I don't think we're getting major changes, but I do think you have an owner here who's ready to spend both on his roster and on his building.
Well, right now they've only got $44 million committed, Elliot. They've got, you know, two-thirds of a first line with Schmaltz and Keller, and two-thirds of a second line that 4 years from now will be their first line, and that's Cooley and former Edmonton Oil King, Edmonton, born prospect Dylan Gunther. Like, they've got some good pieces there. So, but they've not spent any money on defense. They got four pending RFAs, including Durzi, who's had a good offensive season. I'd be intrigued to see what they could get if they spent another $25 to $30 million on players. I think they'd have a pretty competitive team.
Yes, I think they're a team that's had a plan to build slowly, and I still think they're not going to vary from that so much, but I still think they're going to add a little bit here and there. Like, you've got to be smart. You know, Bob, we've seen a lot of teams that they're building, whether it's a plan or it's a necessity, but then you make mistakes and you get excited and you blow it up. I think they want to do something, but I think they want to be smart.
Elliot, what do you say to the listeners that are saying, oh, wait a sec here, it's nice you got Salt Lake, and we keep hearing Houston, Houston, Houston. What do you say?
Or Atlanta,
and which is, you know, has failed twice before. And not that I'd be ever flying the flag for the province of Quebec, but hey, hockey's number one in the province of Quebec. They love it. It's an unbelievable experience in Montreal every game. What do you say about Quebec City?
I mean, look, I'd love to see it. I would love to see a Nordique-Canadian rivalry. I just don't know that it works financially. Not only Quebec, but like, how much would it hurt Montreal? And I have actually heard that that's one of the biggest reasons. It's just that people don't think Quebec is enough of a market, population-wise and money-wise, to support two franchises. That's the issue, I believe.
Okay.
Like, honestly, I think, Bob, if we ever see another team in Canada, I wonder if it's going to be a second team in the Golden Horseshoe / Toronto area.
Harley could certainly support it. All right, I'm going to put you on the spot in a couple scenarios here. We know Boston's going to play Toronto. I got to tell you right now, it's the Leafs' time. They're going to beat the Bruins. You heard it here. What do you think?
I actually think that Boston's a better matchup for them than Florida is. I was actually at the game last night in Florida. And, you know, once the Panthers turned that game on in the second period, they went 29 shots in the second period.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, like, Toronto couldn't do anything with them. And, you know, you remember, it's not the most intense game, but it was intense for Florida, who sleptwalked through the full period. I actually think that they have a better chance of beating Boston than Florida. I completely agree with you, but thinking they have a better chance and actually seeing it happen are two very different things. Like, one of the things I think is really interesting here, Bob, is that Toronto started Martin Jones tonight, so Samsonov's, they're going to play on Saturday, so Samsonov's going to have a week off before playing, and it sounds like tomorrow night and Noonan is playing for Colorado.
Yes.
So I haven't seen when Colorado's starting yet, but it might be next Sunday. So, I mean, if they go back with Georgiev, he's going to have a week off. But I'm curious to see how this always affects the goalies.
All right, so we know Boston's playing Toronto. Battle Florida is going to be awesome. I got to ask you, Winnipeg and Colorado, that to me, I know Colorado hasn't played great down the stretch here, but they're still Colorado, man.
They're still Colorado. Yeah. That's a really good series. It's a great series. You know, I think Winnipeg can beat them. But that's a team. One of those teams. Those are two 105 point teams, and one of them's going out in the first round.
Yeah.
Like, those two teams could win the Stanley Cup. And, like, look at the matchups. Like, especially if you guys end up playing Vegas, a legitimate Stanley Cup contender is going out in the first round. In Winnipeg, Colorado, a Stanley Cup contender is going out in the first round. Like, those Western playoff playoffs, they're going to be... Even if it's Dallas-Vegas, a Stanley Cup contender is going out in the first round.
There's something off with L.A., man. They lost to Anaheim, and they lost to Minnesota. It's got the conspiracy theorists going, of course, the Oilers beat them in 7-6.
I'll tell you this, like, my Leaf fan buddies are convinced that Boston threw the last two goals. They played terrible in Washington, and they were really good in the third period last night against Ottawa, but they were kind of sleptwalked a bit for the full two. And my buddies are convinced that they threw it to play the Leafs. So this, I actually think with LA, you know, Byfield has struggled. He's had a great year, but he's struggled. I think it's just really hard for L.A. to score.
Yep.
And, I think especially with him struggling, I think it's really hard for those guys to score.
Elliot, final question. Are you in Fort Lauderdale? Are you in Orlando?
Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale. Right on the beach. And the Bugs were on the beach today?
Yeah, they were. It was just a beautiful night. No, I always try to get away right before the playoffs because, you know, my family's not going to see me for the next few weeks, which is probably a bonus for them, Bob. But I always try to go away with them somewhere warm right before the playoffs, and we're heading back tomorrow.
Awesome, Mark. Thanks for joining us, Elliot.
All right, take care, Bob. Have a good night.
Yes, from NHL Hockey and Rogers, for Abe's Door Service, where services are specialty, that's Elliot Freeman. Visit abesdoor.ca. You're invited to join New West Travel on an Avalon River cruise next March. Explore Southeast Asia. You discover Vietnam, Cambodia, and Thailand. Your 19-day tour includes a 7-night river cruise with gourmet meals, fine wines, and daily tours. You'll be immersed in the cultures and ancient traditions as you sightsee and spend time in the most fascinating places along the mighty Mekong River. If you book by May 31st, you save $1,300 per person. Full details, contract New West Travel at newwesttravel.com. We do have Oilers game day trivia coming up momentarily. We're going to bring you the Oilers Now injury report for James H. Brown and your lawyers. When accidents happen, go to jameshbrown.com. Trent Brown, Jim Brown, proud supporters of the Edmonton Oilers, the Edmonton Elks, and the Alberta Golden Bears. We'll say Evander Kane's day-to-day. I don't expect any issues for him to be able to play game one of the playoffs, whatever that is, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday next week. Nurse and CeCe are healthy scratch for tonight's game. The Oilers are going to pull. Derek Ryan also will not play. He, too, is a healthy scratch. Arizona, Nick Bjugstad is out with an upper body injury. Travis Boyd with a torn pectoral. Barrett Hayton unable to come back from a lower body issue. Travis Dermott out as well for the Arizona Coyotes. Back with Oilers game day trivia for Pro-Am Sports when we return. Tyler has texted us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line at 557 in Edmonton. He says, Bob, Houston should have been the priority over Salt Lake. Well, that's a solid text, and we're entering it to win the Text of the Week draw, where winners receive 3 months of washes at my favorite car wash. That's Great White Car Wash, 10004 169th Street. Bob Stauffer in Tempe, Arizona. Jack Michaels, Louis DeBrasse, Gene Principe will have the call of tonight's game in NHL hockey, and Rogers. I'll join them during one of the intermissions. Cam Moon and myself with Rob Brown and Reed Wilkins, the Oilers Radio Network broadcast. And we are going to go to Oilers Game Day Trivia. It is presented by Pro-Am Sports, your fan cave specialists. All correct answers this month are entered to win an autographed Stuart Skinner jersey. It will be Calvin Pickard tonight against Connor Ingram, by the way. An autographed Stuart Skinner jersey from Pro-Am Sports. Visit them online or in Edmonton at proamsports.ca. Here we go. Josh Doan is going to play tonight. He's been pretty good for Arizona. All he's done on a 10-game call-up so far is have 5 goals and 9 points. Some of you listening would have been at Northlands Coliseum in 1995. Would have been late June of 1995, the only time Edmonton's ever hosted the NHL draft. And when Glenn Sather took the stage with Barry Fraser, the sold-out arena chanted, Doan, Doan, Doan. They wanted the Oilers to take Shane Doan with the 6th overall pick. And what did Glenn Sather do? Well, he drafted somebody else. Who was the player that had, unfortunately, nowhere near as good an NHL career as Shane Doan, who, by the way, will be in the building tonight? Who was the player that the Edmonton Oilers selected? Now, they ended up flipping him for a pretty good defenseman. But who was the player out of the Western Hockey League that Edmonton passed on taking Shane Doan and took back in the first round of the 95 draft? We are going to head off Texas on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. We'll head off to a global news weather traffic update. And when we come back in Oilers Now, Craig Morgan, longtime beat writer here in Arizona, will talk about the last night at the Mullet.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.